Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Loans through the Paycheck Protection Program, the collapse of part of a Montana Highline water system, and research on coronavirus at Rocky Mountain Labs. It's Wednesday, May 20th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana lawmakers will receive a briefing on forecasts of COVID-19's impact on state revenues later this morning. Lawmakers in the Revenue Interim Committee are expected to debate whether they should send letters to Governor Steve Bullock calling for action to address possible hits to state finances. Kevin Trevelin reports.
Ahead of the debate, top Republican lawmakers sent their own letter to Bullock urging 5-15% cuts in state spending. Speaker of the House Greg Hertz says cuts enacted now can prevent a, quote, tremendous issue, end quote, during the 2021 legislative session. Bullock spokesperson Marissa Perry says the Republicans' letter is a, quote, political stunt, end quote, and that enacting cuts now to address budget impacts expected several years down the road could harm Montanans. Montana headed into the pandemic with a relatively high level of cash savings. Republican lawmakers and the governor are at odds over how to approach forecasts for COVID-19's impact on revenues. Kevin Trevelin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Researchers at the University of Montana say the state's economy could be harder hit than initially thought by the impacts of COVID-19. The Bureau of Business and Economic Research says Montana could see 75,000 jobs lost in the economy this year. The revised analysis follows a previous forecast in April that said more than 50,000 jobs could be lost. The updated May forecast says personal income could drop more than 11% this year compared to pre-COVID-19 projections. The analysis says the state is in the midst of a severe recession that is outside the bounds of anything experienced since World War II. A new report shows over 21,700 loans through the Paycheck Protection Program have been approved for small businesses, nonprofits, and faith-based organizations in Montana. Rachel Kramer reports.
The U.S. Small Business Administration's most recent report shows more than $500 billion had been approved for PPP loans nationwide as of Saturday. More than $1.7 billion of that went to Montana. While the first round of funding for the PPP ran out in just 2 weeks in April, roughly a third of the second round of funding is still available. Congress approved the additional $310 billion for the program on April 23rd, following reports that many small business owners had been unable to access loans and were still struggling. The PPP provides forgivable loans to cover 8 weeks of payroll and benefits. Up to a quarter of the loan may be used to cover mortgage interest, rent, and utilities. PPP loan forgiveness guidelines and applications were released Friday and can be found on the SBA and U.S. Department of Treasury websites. Any part of the PPP loan that is not forgiven must be paid back, either immediately or in the form of a 2-year low-interest loan. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana is reporting at least 477 cases of the COVID-19 illness as of this morning. 6 new cases in Ravalli County were announced yesterday. Ravalli County Public Health says the cases were identified through contact tracing after an individual tested positive this weekend. Travel is believed to play a role. 3 other contacts tests are pending. The cases are considered a cluster outbreak. The first case is currently hospitalized while the other 6 are isolated at home. Ravalli County Public Health says an investigation continues and 30 people identified as contacts are in quarantine. Yesterday morning, Cascade County Commissioners voted unanimously to cancel the 2020 Montana State Fair in Great Falls. The Great Falls Tribune reports the decision came during a special meeting held by video conference that was attended virtually by 164 people. The commissioners cited concern of the spread of the coronavirus for canceling the event that was scheduled for July 24th through August 1st at Great Falls Expo Park. They were concerned whether Phase 3, which would allow large-scale events like a fair, would even be in place in time for the fair. The Montana State Fair averages between 8,000 to 9,000 fairgoers a day. The cancellation comes on the same day Governor Steve Bullock announced Montana would enter Phase 2 of its reopening plan starting June 1st. The University of Montana's executive vice president and provost is leaving for a new position in online education. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
The University of Montana hired outgoing provost John Harbor just over 2 years ago. Harbor came to Missoula from Purdue University, where he served as an associate vice provost and the executive director of digital education. UM President Seth Bodner Tuesday announced Harbor is leaving in July. He's returning to the Purdue University system, this time taking a new position with Purdue University Global, an online program. The Missoulian reports Harbor carried out academic budget cuts and restructuring following a $10 million enrollment drop-related budget shortfall. In fall of 2018, Harbor announced UM would cut $5 million by 2021. Reed Humphrey, dean of UM's College of Health, has agreed to serve as UM's acting provost during the national search for Harbor's replacement. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks yesterday announced the first suspected case of chronic wasting disease in a new area in the southwest corner of the state. Rachel Kramer reports.
Earlier this month, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks euthanized a white-tailed buck displaying symptoms of CWD in the Spring Hill area north of Bozeman. On Tuesday, the agency said initial test results showed the animal may have been carrying the fatal disease, which affects the nervous systems of deer, elk, and moose. CWD is not known to be transmissible to humans. However, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advises against consuming animals that have tested positive. CWD was first detected in Montana in 2017 and exists along the state's southern and northern borders, as well as in neighboring states and provinces. The first detection in southwest Montana was in December near Sheridan. During the coming hunting season, FWP plans to focus part of its statewide surveillance efforts in southwest Montana. The agency is in the process of reviewing possible strategies to manage the disease. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Part of a Montana Highline water system collapsed over the weekend, and any delay in its repair will affect water usage by tribes, municipalities, and irrigators. Kay Erickson gives us the details.
It was Sunday afternoon when Drop 5 on the Bureau of Reclamation's Milk River Project St. Mary Canal collapsed, dropping the flow of the water along the High Line. This concrete drop structure north of Cutbank is one of five that uses gravity and siphons to move water along the St. Mary Canal to the North Milk River. The Bureau of Reclamation says this system is the primary water source for thousands of irrigation users, the Blackfeet and Fort Belknap reservations, and several municipalities, including Havre, Chinook, and Harlem. Mike Wendland is Hill County Commissioner. He says right now, Havre, which draws its water from the Milk River Project, is in pretty good shape thanks to the Fresno Reservoir.
Fresno Reservoir, and right now there's pretty good storage in it, so that would kind of alleviate the concern for the municipal water supplies for the near future.
Montana's Congressman Greg Gianforte and Senator Steve Daines have written to President Donald Trump and to the Bureau of Reclamation, urging swift action to repair the drop structure and get water flowing again. Daines says the estimated cost to fix the damage is $5 million. The Milk River Project is over 100 years old, and it has been the focus for decades of past and present members of Montana's congressional delegation trying to secure federal funding for the repair of the aging system. I'm Kay Erickson, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana will no longer require out-of-state travelers to quarantine for 14 days starting June 1st. Governor Steve Bullock also announced phase two of the state's economic reopening plan during a press conference yesterday. Montana takes another step toward reopening as it has the lowest number of confirmed COVID-19 cases per 100,000 people in the country.
We cannot prevent all COVID-19 cases. But there are things that we can do that will allow Montanans to have some sense of a normal life while still preventing major outbreaks or overwhelming our state's healthcare system.
Under the next phase, starting on June 1st, the state is continuing to encourage people to stay at home if they're over 65 years old or have serious underlying health conditions. Bullock is also giving guidelines to telework when possible, practice good hygiene like frequent hand washing, and continue physically distancing 6 feet away from others. Under phase two, restaurants, bars, gyms, and some other businesses can open up to 75% capacity. The governor's directive increases group size limitations. Bullock says to avoid groups larger than 50 people when physical distancing can't happen and social distancing is always recommended. Montana has had more than 470 lab-confirmed cases of COVID-19. 18 are considered active. A federal government lab nestled in a town of 5,000 in the Bitterroot Valley found the first vaccines for Rocky Mountain spotted fever, manufactured the nation's supply of yellow fever vaccines during World War II, and helped develop a life-saving Ebola vaccine as the disease debilitated West Africa. Now, Rocky Mountain Labs in Hamilton is turning its attention to COVID-19. Montana Public Radio's Nick Mott reports.
I'm driving through the historic timber city of Hamilton, Montana.
All the trees and the neighborhoods are in bloom while it's still snowing up in the mountains.
And spitting distance from an inflatable bouncy house emporium, a vape store, and a Filipino restaurant perched right on the edge of town is a sprawling campus, bordered by a big black fence plastered with no trespassing and U.S. government property signs.
And some of the most groundbreaking research on coronavirus and just about any other infectious disease you can name is happening right here.
Rocky Mountain Labs is a part of the National Institutes of Health, and Marshall Bloom, Associate Director for Scientific Management there, says it's been on the bleeding edge of infectious disease research for well over a century. He's mustachioed and sporting a pair of thick, aviator-styled eyeglasses. We're talking via Zoom while he's making a rare visit to RML.
You know, I'm sitting here in my office, but until this morning, I've been home every day.
He's been at home because when the pandemic hit Montana, only essential personnel involved directly in COVID research were allowed inside the labs. That means about 50 people on site day-to-day of about 500 that work there. Bloom traces the lab's origin back to the early days of the 20th century, studying a mysterious disease crippling the Bitterroot Valley, which was later named Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever.
The focus has sort of changed from one thing to another, but I think the history of excellence in emerging infectious diseases has continued.
RML has led the charge against Ebola, Zika, and yellow fever, among too many other diseases to name. It's one of only about a dozen biohazard safety level 4 facilities in the country, which is science lingo for a place that can house the really, really, really bad stuff nobody knows how to cure. Bloom says when a new disease pops up, it's nearly guaranteed.
There is staff here at Rocky Mountain Labs poised to go after that problem. And that's what happened in the instance of the new coronavirus.
The lab started running experiments on the novel coronavirus before the first cases were confirmed in the U.S. in late January.
And as a consequence, I think much of the news and the really, really solid research which has come out about SARS coronavirus 2 is happening right here in Hamilton, Montana.
Now they have 5 teams in the lab exploring COVID-19.
And if I say they've been working 7 days a week since the 1st of February, that's not an exaggeration.
That means developing and testing a multitude of possible vaccines, antiviral medications, and treatments. Since SARS-CoV-2 is so new, there's still unknowns that swirl around how it functions, like,
what are the exact mechanisms that this virus is wreaking such havoc on people's ability to breathe?
So their teams are conducting that sort of basic research, too. The corona in coronavirus is Latin for crown. That's because the particles of the virus have a halo of spikes on the outside. And most images of this regal phenomenon also come from RML's high-powered electron microscope. All this amounts to what Bloom calls the lab's outsized bite on coronavirus research. But he says all that coronavirus work also comes with a hitch. As the pandemic took hold of the country, RML mothballed all research that wasn't COVID-related.
There are a lot of other infectious diseases that have not gone away. They're just not on the front page of the newspaper.
He worries what this could mean for preparedness for future outbreaks. He says vaccination rates, especially for measles, have gone down in response to COVID across the country and the world, and other diseases are likely to pop up as the threat of coronavirus eases. Still, he says he's proud of the role the labs are playing in a national crisis.
The work that's being done has the chance to help someone we all know and love.
I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.